The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, not the views of the Pasco County Democratic Executive Committee. Today's guest is Amy Weintraub. Amy has been on our program before, but it's very, very important now that we listen to her because of what's coming up in the election in terms of Amendment 4. Amy Weintraub joined Progress Florida as Reproductive Rights Program Director and Deputy Communications Director. She's a great source for the media on issues surrounding reproductive rights and will be available as a spokesperson on abortion rights and a broad range of healthcare-related issues moving forward. She has extensive experience advocating for reproductive rights, women's and social change issues, and most recently served as the League of Women Voters Florida State Chair for the Reproductive Health and Justice Action Team, and she was the lead organizer for the 2017 St. Petersburg Women's March. That was the largest public demonstration in history in St. Pete. She continues to play a role in the Floridians for Reproductive Freedom Coalition. And again, we've had her on before, but today, Amy, I'm sure you're going to be talking about how very important it is for us to be really concerned about the election issue coming up and what part Pasco Democrats can play. Go.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here with you today. And as you know, we are working hard to pass Amendment 4 and to get all politicians, regardless of their party affiliation, out of private medical decisions. Amendment 4 really is about stopping government interference with abortion. It is also about protecting the right to abortion, but what we really want to focus on is stopping government interference. Because after all, abortion is a medical decision that patients and doctors should have the freedom to make for themselves. They do not need politicians involved with that. When we are going to make a decision about what type of cancer treatment our loved one is going to go through, do we call our House of Representatives person? No. Do we call our U.S. Senator? No. We talk about it within our family. We talk about it with our healthcare providers. We do not need this type of political interference. Floridians deserve the freedom to make these decisions. And you know what? The vast majority of Floridians are against restrictions and bans on abortion. This amendment isn't necessarily about making abortion legal in Florida. It's about preventing government interference with healthcare decisions.
Okay, that's very good, Amy. Thank you for putting that so clearly. Now, one of the things we have found in the past with this government is that when felony rights were being brought up and said, okay, if you've served your time, you ought to be able to vote and so forth, and the Republicans and the state went ahead and tried to stop that from happening. What do you think the state would try to do if this passes?
Oh, I do think that the DeSantis administration and all of the anti-abortion extremists who sit in the House and the Senate in Tallahassee they're going to conduct their normal reindeer games around this, and they're going to try to obstruct. They have already started making overtures to that effect, and they're really, really nervous. I mean, they know they're out of sync with the majority of Floridians. So, you know, I can imagine that they'll try to say that the amendment doesn't cover this or doesn't cover that, et cetera. But you know what? Our legal team is so awesome, and that the antics of the legislators with the previous Amendment 4, the voter, um, the, the Felons Voting Rights Restoration Amendment was front of mind while we were crafting the language around our amendment. Mm-hmm. And we really feel like we've built in measures in the language that will prevent a lot of tinkering by the legislature and the governor. And our legal team is really, really ready to defend it. In fact, they're preparing for that now, even as we're working to get it passed. And good. I have all the faith in the world that these constitutional law experts will do their job.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that. Now, we started out saying when you do address groups about Amendment 4, is there something in particular beyond what you've already just said about the government role intruding? Is there anything else that you try to emphasize?
Sure. That's a great question. And one of the things that I really like to advise people who are working to get Amendment 4 passed is to, when you're making an opening statement, and I'm talking about when you're talking with groups or you're talking with friends, other voters, is to open with a powerful values-based statement, something that you know that they already share with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, that's where this government intrusion stuff comes in. We know that people across the political spectrum don't want government interfering with personal health care decisions, right?
Right.
And then really lean into abortion as a patient doctor decision. People don't like the idea of politicians in the exam room. So that's one thing. The other thing is to really highlight the threat or the effects of the six-week ban, this near total ban that we're currently living under, and the fact that it doesn't have real exceptions, that mm-hmm. That messaging does appeal to a wider swath of the electorate, and it raises the stakes around what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, I have two more things that I'd like to say that are very helpful. I found helpful.
Sure.
And the third is to tell real stories that explain about the consequences of the bans.
Uh-huh.
And so it's worth it. It's been worth it to me to sort of memorize some of the stories that we've heard from other states where total but near total bans have been implemented, and then also some stories from Florida. And, you know, you don't have to have all the facts. You don't have to remember all the names. But just to know that about that 10-year-old girl in Ohio who mm-hmm. was raped and
right.
had to travel to Indiana to get the abortion that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman in Texas who was miscarrying and she had
right.
she lost liters of blood and had to go on a breathing machine before Texas doctors were legally felt they were able to intervene and help her. And
right.
so having those stories in your back pocket's great.
Right.
And then finally, tapping into empathy and connecting a yes vote to freedom from government interference and saying something like, you know, we cannot know what someone else is going through because we're not in their shoes. And that's why we need to vote yes to keep government out of these decisions and to make sure that Florida families and their doctors have the freedom to make the decisions that are right for them.
Right. Now, it's interesting, and I was reading some background on this, and I'm sorry I didn't. I wish I'd copied it down now, but I read some article about the fact that how the word ban is treated differently by those in favor and those against Amendment 4. And I don't know if you've run across this yet, but the word ban obviously has a different meaning for people who might say, I'm in favor of this, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to ban the government from getting involved. And on the other hand, people who are against it use the word ban in terms of, this means that you're going to get rid of kids, you're going to get rid of children, and so forth. And, you know, it's like children murder. And it's the way in which people react to that word ban that I think can be kind of interesting. And I don't know if you've run across that yet or not, but it struck me as being a rather interesting way to understand how and why sometimes people simply vote according to one word.
It's interesting. I mean, the word ban is powerful. Americans don't like to be banned from things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels very undemocratic. It feels very unfree.
Right.
And so I can understand, you know, people using that word like we use other power words, for, you know, to advance our arguments and our debate. What I do know is that this 6-week ban that we are currently operating under is called that because it is it disallows or makes illegal abortion mm-hmm. before most women know that they're pregnant. And that feels like a ban to me.
Yes.
You know, so I feel comfortable using that word in this context. I know that our opposition, I remember Senator Aaron Grawl getting really upset that we were calling it a ban. Mm-hmm. And that's because she knows. She knows that it resonates with voters and she knows that people don't like bans. But she led the, led the effort to get this ban in place.
Yeah, and I think emphasizing the idea about the role of government in our lives, sometimes I think a lot of politicians, once they get elected, make the assumption that because they've been elected, therefore they now are in possession of knowledge that's way beyond the ordinary voter. Well, you and I know that that's not true, and I think one of the hardest things to do is to try to make people understand what can be a legitimate role of government in your lives. For example, if there's some kind of health issue right now, that person has this kind of a disease and they need to be getting assistance from the government, that's something we think that's fine. But going into the area of a personal freedom does seem to be going way beyond what should be the case for the government. Now, let's just change for a moment and say this, all right? In Pasco County, I believe that we have not done the job we should have done in trying to support Amendment 4. So I'm going to ask you right now to be very plain and blunt. If you're right now, you're here, a bunch of Pasco Democrats, both women and men, are listening to this. What do you want them to do?
The most obvious thing to do is to get the Yes on 4 communications in your email box and on your phone via text. That is the way that that individuals can stay informed about what's happening and find out about ways that they can plug in. Mm-hmm. And it is very easy to go to FloridiansProtectingFreedom.com. That's mm-hmm. FloridiansProtectingFreedom.com and click on join. You'll okay. be asked to fill in your information and then you will be informed about things Good. Like tomorrow is Super Saturday. Once a month, there's a Yes on 4 Super Saturday and people across the state go to in-person events or join by Zoom at 10 a.m. on these Saturdays and find out about what's happening. We get marching orders for what's happening, what we need to be doing. Tomorrow I'm leading the virtual one, the Zoom one, and I've got over 100 people across the state signed up. We're going to learn about a new tool that people can use to activate voters from their own home. It's called Reach. So anyway, signing up, joining the campaign online is the best thing to do.
Okay, good. Because two things. Number one, I mentioned that particularly in the introduction to you. And when I send out the email to everybody that the podcast is going up, I will make sure that I put that in the email so that right Super. Away they can get that information and do something about it even before they listen to the podcast. Okay.
Fantastic.
Let's see now. What else we might just mention for a couple of minutes here? You've been at this a long time, Amy. And
yep.
How have you managed to maintain your enthusiasm and your diligence? How have you been able to do that?
Well, you know, I have two young adult children who are, you know, both of childbearing age, and I am very motivated by knowing that they have right now fewer rights than I do, and the injustice of that makes my heart ache, and it keeps me very motivated to protect them. And, you know, and their friends and, you know, and the generations to come. I really see this Yes on 4 campaign and if we are able to get Amendment 4 passed as being sort of a final remedy to keep the government from tinkering with our reproductive freedom. Mm. And so just the hope around that. And then the one other thing that really gives me heart all the time is the fact that science and medicine have brought us a method of abortion care that it is something that wasn't available pre-1973, mm-hmm. pre-Roe, and I'm talking about abortion pills. skills that can be acquired by mail and that aren't reliant on Florida doctors who have now been banned from providing that care. And so that also gives me heart and helps, and getting the word out about that is a real motivation.
Right. Well, I want to thank you, Amy, for your time. I don't know if there's anything you want to say beyond this, but that was a very good way of ending things. And the only thing I can say right now is I'd like to be able to get back in touch with you after the amendment passes in November, and maybe we'll have something to say at that point. But between now and then, good luck in all of your work, and I hope that you were all successful.
Thank you so much. And I love the fact that you said when it passes. Yes,
okay.
Let's go.
Thanks, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.